Let's turn in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 27. Exodus 27, we'll be reading God's Word and continuing where we left off in the previous chapter. Exodus 27, and we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21. Exodus 27, verse 1. These are God's words, so give your attention to them. "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make stays for the altar, stays of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the stave shall be put into the rings, and the stave shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side, southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for 1 side. And the 20 pillars thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side in length, there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets with silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side, shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side, eastward, shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of 1 side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And their pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits and the breadth 50 everywhere, and height 5 cubits of fine twined linen and their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle and all the service thereof and all the pins thereof and all the pins of the court shall be of brass. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall order it." And those are God's words. Oh, excuse me. "Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." Those are God's words, all of them. We've read about the tabernacle inside the tent, and now we go to the outside, where the first 8 verses gives us the details about the altar of sacrifice. And this is when you came into the tent, in the courtyard of the tent of meeting, it would be the first thing you see. And this shows forth to the sinner that unless you come to Jehovah, the Lord, through sacrifice, through bloodshed, there is no entrance before His presence. There is no forgiveness of sin. And there is no fellowship with the triune God unless you come through the bloodshed sacrifice. And Hebrews teaches us that this altar is Jesus Christ, foreshadowed. And His sacrifice is the final and only sacrifice needed to come before the Lord. And so Hebrews 13 says, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." The altar we now have is Christ alone. For He is both the priest, the altar, and sacrifice all in Himself. And then through verse 19, there is described the dividing walls between the outside and the courtyard of the tabernacle on the inside. This is used to describe the previous divide between that which is unholy, that's what's outside, and from that which is holy or sanctified on the inside. In Ephesians 2, when Paul's speaking of the uniting of the two, only through Jesus Christ, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That is the Gentiles who are far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. "For He is our peace, who hath made both," Jews and Gentiles, "one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." That dividing wall, that outer courtyard which separated them. All now have access to the Lord through Jesus Christ. And then the remaining verses, the last two verses, concerns the oil for the lamps. And the keeping the lamps filled with oil showed the faithfulness of the priest and their duty. If the lights were continually, the oil was continually put into the lampstand and the lights were continually going, then that showed that the priests were faithful in their duty. And our Lord is faithful Himself to keep the whole law and be in Christ the atoning sacrifice for His people. And therefore it is alone through Jesus Christ that we are enabled to come into the presence of the Lord and have communion with Him. But remember, it is only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for Your Word here in Exodus 27 that proclaims the Gospel, the good news, that it's only through Jesus Christ, through His blood shed, His body sacrificed, that brings us not only from outside of the courtyard into the courtyard, but makes us to come into the holy place where there's the lampstand in which Christ is faithful, and we were reminded of that. But not only into the holy place, now into the holy of holies, the most holy place where there the throne of God, there as You sit between the cherubim, that we come before Your throne by the Holy Spirit through Christ's final sacrifice to worship You, to pray to You as You call us and command us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we come now in worship. And so, Father, help us to see that each part of this old ceremonial law tabernacle, this old way of worship for Israel, all and every part pointed to Jesus Christ, Your Son. And it's through Him that we have a new and living way into Your presence. And Father, we give You praise for this. We're thankful that You're a gracious God, a merciful God, and so gracious that we have sinned against You. We have committed wickedness and evil, even as Your people. And yet, You still call us to come before Your presence. You show us mercy, and You grant us the grace to come. And You called us out of darkness into a marvelous light that we might be named as children of God, that we would be adopted into Your family and have as our Father You, Abba Father, in which we cry out to You that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All privileges because You have shown us mercy and grace. Not because we deserved any of it. We do not deserve any of it. We deserve the pains of hell forever, and yet You have, by Your grace, shown us great blessing and privilege and mercy that comes because of Christ alone, who in union with Him, we have what He has in His human nature. We thank You for this. We thank You for what a great privilege is that You have granted to us. And Father, we do pray that You'll watch over us. In our hearts, we have sinned against You, as we said, and And we confess our sins. We have committed and broken your commandments, all of them. Generally summed up in the two greatest commandments, to love you, the Lord God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've broken that commandment where we have not, where we have put other gods and made other gods and taken your name in vain and not remembered the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Father, we have not loved you. But so too, we have not loved our neighbor. We have dishonored our neighbor, dishonored family members, dishonored our friends, and even the church, people in the church. Our Father, we have murdered in our hearts and become angry with people or frustrated. There's bitterness. Father, we've stolen. We've committed adultery. We've lusted in our hearts. We have slandered and gossiped and lied and coveted and lusted after those things which are not ours and that we do not need. And Father, we have broken your commandments, all of them, in thought, in word, and in deed. And yet, what a great God you are in Christ your Son, that you are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and receive us for Christ's sake and only for His sake. Father, we're thankful that we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that He pleads for us. And that every prayer that we offer, all of our worship that we offer, that He perfects, and therefore you, the Father, respond with yes, amen. And we're thankful for this, that you answer correctly and rightly to Him who perfects our prayers and perfects our worship. Father, receive our worship and receive our prayers for His sake and for His glory. And Father, we pray that you would sanctify us and cause us to put to death those sins that we've just confessed, that you would turn us from them, that we would hate sin and love Jesus, your Son, that we would love you and honor your name and not quench the Holy Spirit, not grieve the Holy Spirit, but honor you. And Father, we do pray and ask for your blessing upon this congregation. That we are a weak congregation, and yet you are a God who's powerful. And it doesn't matter if we don't see that we have the means. It doesn't seem that we don't see that we have the resources. Father, you are the God who provides them. We'll learn that this evening in the book of Joshua. You are a gracious God in that. That you provide, even when you command us that if we follow and we're faithful to follow after you, you will show your power. And you will remain faithful to your promises. And you'll see us through, never leaving us nor forsaking us. Father, we pray that you would grow us in number to such an extent that we might be able to plant a church. And that seems very far-fetched. Weak as we are, we don't desire numbers only for our glory, and not for our glory at all, but for your glory, that your church would be expanding, your kingdom expanding, and that Christ would be exalted, the gospel would go forth, that the many Gentiles would come in and the fullness of them would come in, so that the Jews and the fullness of the Jews would come in. Because that's what you've promised, that all the nations would come and covenant with Christ and bow the knee to Him. That's what you've promised to come about, that even gifts would come from rulers who are wicked to Christ your Son, who sits on the throne as our mediator king. That's what our desire is, that your promises would be fulfilled and your name would be given all glory, especially your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray for our bodies. We are weak in our body, frail. We are, even at this moment, one breath closer to death. Our death may be today. It may be a week from now. But it is the day that you've numbered, that you've made, and you've decreed from all eternity that we would perish from this earth and our bodies be laid in the grave. But thankfully in Christ, our souls will be made perfectly righteous and enter into glory at the right time, in which we have hope in. That even in the future, we will have our bodies resurrected up from the dead and receive new glorified bodies. fit for glory and to honor and praise your name forever. Now, Father, in our bodies, we pray for those who are sick today. We pray for Brandon and Abigail who are not feeling well. We pray for Jeff who just had surgery on his eyes, that you would bring healing to him. We pray for Patricia who's not feeling well today but also has surgery Tuesday. Pray that you would uphold her and that the surgery would go well. We pray for Jeannie who's not feeling well, and I pray that you would heal all your people. Father, you have closed the womb of Johnny. We pray that you would open it and provide children for Junior and Johnny. And we know that you are the God who supplies blessing and supply them with many blessings and a quiverful according to your will. Father, we pray for Marissa and the baby Wendolyn, and pray that you would keep that baby healthy, and also that you would turn her heart unto you at the earliest of times, just as you did with John the Baptist, as we'll read about this morning. We pray that you'll be with Michelle and her child, and with Oscar too, and that you would bring about that baby healthy, and also that your name would be exalted by that child, and that you would change their heart and grant them a new heart in Christ, your Son. And then, Father, we do pray for Michael and Audrey. You would help them with grieving again, and pray that you would uphold them, strengthen them, and have them to continually look to your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray that the results, test results they get back this week, Lord willing, would be the best possible, and you would grant them your grace and many blessings for the suffering they've gone through. And thankful for their Christ-like example to all of us that you have brought and worked in them by your grace. Our Father, we do pray and ask for your help now as we continue worshiping you. We ask that you would uphold us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray that our worship, being perfected by Christ, would bring an end and destruction to Satan's kingdom, and that your kingdom would be exalted, and that we would honor Christ, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.